Welcome to the 99th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with John Horner Jacobs, author of the novels Southern Gods, This Dark Earth, and The 12-Finger Boy. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is John Horner Jacobs, author of the new zombie novel, This Dark Earth. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. First, can I ask you to read the first three or four paragraphs of This Dark Earth?
Okay. This will be my first live performance. All right. Genesis. It was a family once, Lucy saw. And maybe they fit together like puzzle pieces when whole, mother and father pressed together, the boy nestled between them. But now they were broken, a thin, gibbering wail coming from the child thrashing on the hospital floor, the mother frantic and pawing at his narrow chest, choking up sobs and great heaves, grappling for his flailing arms, while the father stood helplessly, opening and closing his hands into fists, as if wishing for something to fight. Help me. It wasn't a scream, but more alarming because of the lowered tone and urgency of the woman. The man dropped to his knees and took the boy's wrist in his big, raw-boned hands. He was a laborer, that was clear, black-haired and thick of waist. The boy shared his looks, dark hair and sturdy build from what Lucy could see beyond the wreckage of the young face. Lucy stepped closer. The child had swallowed his own lips and was now trying to gnaw off his fingertips. She paused to set down her coffee on the nurse's station and move towards the grisly trio.
Great. Well, if the listeners haven't heard about This Dark Earth before, how would you describe the novel?
I would describe it as... It is a post-apocalyptic coming-of-age story. It's pretty much about a family who tries to reestablish civilization on a bridge in Arkansas after a post-nuclear war zombie apocalypse situation. And, the first third of the book is pretty much a standard zombie novel. And then from there, it takes sort of a left turn and goes into more of a examination of civilization and what makes civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes, and how, you give up things for order and you have to sacrifice things to keep it. In a lot of ways, it is it's pretty much marketed as horror, but it's not really horror. It deals in more of the things that maybe a science fiction author would think about.
Right.
To me. Because it has zombies, it gets filed in the horror, and that's fine because, it does have some horrific elements.
So. Right. Well, speaking of zombies, for horror fans, zombies have been around for many years, but zombies have just really exploded in popular culture over the last 3 or 4 years. You have The Walking Dead, both the comic book and the successful TV show, and also lots of different novels and movies as well. When you started writing This Dark Earth, were you intimidated at all or maybe leery to bring in zombies?
Honestly, when I started writing this, I started writing it in early 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always been a big fan of sort of apocalyptic literature and
sure.
movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read, a couple of years before Brian Keene's The Rising. And I loved it because it was very just fast moving and sort of, it was pulpy, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of reinvented the zombie. And then I had then just finished reading The Road and I had that in my head and I was like, I sort of mixed those together in my mind. And I just thought, here's the story I would want to tell if I was telling those stories. you know, this is, you know, I don't live in a big city. I live in Arkansas. And part of my thing was, you know, if the sort of traditional zombie, the Romero zombie, not a voodoo, but a Romero zombie, you know, event happened, Arkansas really wouldn't have a problem because we have a very low population density and we have a very huge gun culture. There's, you know, I mean, in like Arkansas, like think about Arkansas or Montana, you know, or, you know, any place with low population densities that most people are agriculturally based. Those are gun cultures. And, you know, the zombies rise. It's not going to be a big problem because there's not that many people and they're remotely situated. In Arkansas, we are protected by a lot of rivers. So, you know, there's no, you know, you cut a few bridges and no one's getting in from no zombies are crossing the Mississippi. So anyway, so I started thinking about like the actual logistics of what would happen. So I had to make it a little bit worse in Arkansas by doing, you know, sort of a nuclear holocaust along with it, a limited nuclear exchange.
Right, right. So in terms of zombies, why do you think zombies continue to fascinate people? Is there something about that archetype that resonates with people, especially today, given, you know, everything that's going on in our culture?
Yes, I think there's a few things. On the one hand, this, as always, as you see with like Romero movies, they're sort of zombies are a blank slate, and because they're humans, you can make a lot of statements about human behavior by what you have the zombies do. You know, so if they're in a shopping mall, you can make a comment on consumerism. I think personally, this is a theory that I've just been developing. Is that zombies are a sort of cultural, the interest in zombies are a cultural sort of it's an upwelling of our collective fear of cancer, is what I think, because zombies to me, they look like, you know, I mean, they're dead, so they sort of, you know, what the sort of stylized ideal of what a cancer might look like if transmogrified into or anthropomorphized into a human might look like a zombie, but also they're a cancer in the body of humanity. They're eating humanity as a whole from the inside out, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective.
And honestly, I didn't think about that consciously. But cancer is a major thing in this dark earth because of the nuclear strikes. The radiation has, you know, it starts causing cancer in the populace. And I didn't realize it, but I was sort of blending that. I was sort of developing that idea as I wrote the book. I think also like zombies, the popularity of zombies is also because for the last, you know, 30 years, you know, our corporate culture has been marginalizing the middle class. And zombies are sort of a direct outpouring of like an idea of sort of a sort of collective revenge drama. Sure. You know, and those are a few things. I mean, and then they're also just, to me, when I read, I guess one of the real things that sort of charged me on the zombies is when I read Brian Keene's book, and I watched even before that, like the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I remember just how scary zombies are or how much they frighten me personally. And it's funny because I tell that to my family. I'm like, you know, they really sort of freaked me out. And, you know, I was at a convention with this one. And I've written a book on zombies, and it's sort of like I'm putting myself in harm's way because I go to conventions and, you know, people want me to be on all zombie stuff, and I'll see people done in like totally realistic zombie makeup and really be uncomfortable around them.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I just, you know, so I write because they, you know, they sort of creep me out.
Gotcha. So what was the path to publication like for you with your first novel, Southern Gods and This Dark Earth? Did you always want to write, and did you write short stories before you started writing novels?
Yes, I had wanted to be I was always a bookworm growing up, and I'd always wanted to be an author when I was a kid, but I never really had the discipline. Though when I was in college, I went to like the Bennington Writers Workshop. This is in the early 90s, and wrote a series of like very sort of literary stories about dogfighting in Arkansas. And I was very much under the shadow of William Faulkner, writing long paragraphs with very obscure words. And I mean, I love Faulkner, but I mean, I was just totally emulating him. And then after I graduated from college, the real world set in. I had to get a job, and I had to go back to school to get something I could actually make a living with other than an English degree. And then 17, 18 years later, I have kids, I've settled down. I was 37, and I said, well, I have an idea for a book, and I've always wanted to write a book, and I'm 37. If I don't do it now, when am I ever going to do it? I'm never going to do it. I mean, I'll just sort of wish for the rest of my life. So I entered the National Novel Writing Month in 2007 and wrote the first 50,000 words of Southern Gods. Over the next 5 months, I finished it and polished it. Over the next 2 years, sometime in the next 2 years, I got an agent. Mm-hmm. And then the first book she had read, or the one that she had been interested in, was This Dark Earth. And we shopped it around, and there wasn't a lot of bites because a lot of people, at the time, zombies were really taking off, and I guess all the houses were swamped with zombie books.
Right.
And I thought, This Dark Earth is a real sort of strange one because it is traditional in the sense that it doesn't try to reinvent zombies or do anything else. And so the first part of the book is just sort of your standard fare zombie novel. But then it sort of takes, like I said earlier, it goes to other places that most zombie novels don't, where it's more about society. And so I was very lucky. So that was out at publishers. And then it wasn't getting a lot of traction. And a lot of publishers are just sitting on it because it's a good book. It was, I love the book. It's my book. It's a good book. But there was just so many zombie novels out there. They weren't just jumping on it and buying it right away. And so my agent sent out my first novel to other publishers, and it got snapped up like in a month from a large independent press, Nightshade. And it's gone on to do really well. I mean, it's selling, still selling, really well. And, we were nominated for the Bram Stoker Award. And then right when that one was coming out, Jen Heddle, who now is the head, I think editor, chief editor at Lucasfilms, acquired it for us from Gallery. And, that's sort of the story of that. And right at the same time, also my young adult trilogy sold. So it was a really good, last summer was a really good summer because I had a book coming out. I got, and then I got a 3-book deal with Lerner Publishing for a young adult series. And, I really was very happy.
So tell me a little bit about the young adult series that hasn't been published yet, correct?
No, it's not. We finished with all the edits and everything, and I've seen copies of the cover, and I'm sure they're probably in layout or whatever. The young adult trilogy is called the Incarcerado trilogy, but it's about the first one is called the 12-Fingered Boy, and it's about incarcerated juvenile delinquents who discover, or a incarcerated juvenile delinquent who's assigned a new cellmate that he discovers has polydactylism, which is an extra finger on both hands. He has 12 fingers. And it's possible that he has superpowers. A man from the, supposedly a man from the Department of Health and Human Services shows up, asking questions, and it becomes obvious that things are not what they appear.
right?
Eventually, the boys. So it's like a here's the way I pitch it, and a lot of people don't really get it, but it's like a mashup between Escape from Alcatraz and Escape from Witch Mountain, which is awful.
That's correct.
Modern sense of.
So was it different for you writing YA novels compared to Southern Gods and This Dark Earth?
People always ask that. I don't think so. Writing is writing. I read a lot of young adult stuff because a lot of times that it is more considered and better written than a lot of adult work. I had realized from my reading of young adult stuff that some of the rules, like you can't, young adult, if it's a story told from a remove, like say True Grit, if you take True Grit, True Grit would be a modern day young adult novel. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't about reminiscing about things that happened when they were a child, you sort of have to put the character in the shit and it just be there experiencing it right then. And so that was one of the reasons why I chose to write The Twelve Finger Boy in present tense, which is a lot of people are writing in present tense now, and it's sort of in vogue or somewhat in vogue now. But I had written Southern Gods in sort of the traditional third person. In This Dark Earth, my original idea of This Dark Earth was it was going to be a mosaic novel along the lines of the things they carried, where it would be a series of stories that tell the overarching story, but and with the same characters, but it's just different points of view. And that's how it worked, but it wasn't a lot of stories. It was like six sections. And I've had some complaints that it's like the chapters are too damn long. And I'm like, well, they're not really chapters, they're sections. So
right. Well, I know that you helped start a noir magazine, Needle. What has that experience been like for you? Do you feel that editing improved your own writing?
Well, I was not the editor. I was, what I did, I've had to sort of off from that. I was a co-founder. I was the creative director. So that meant I designed the cover and I did the typesetting and I did all the layout.
Gotcha.
And I picked out the photos and established the look, because that is what I do for a living. Is I'm a graphic animator, video editor. I mean, I'm a graphic, and I worked as like a creative director at ad agencies. That's what I do for a living. So that was my contribution. The experience was invaluable. It just, unfortunately, just recently, I've had to get, I had to resign from being the creative director because I just had too many things on my plate.
Sure.
Of which
sure.
A lot of it is. And then I also maybe a little bit prematurely, left my job to do freelance design work. And so I just didn't have time to do the magazine, because the magazine took about 40 hours of my time per issue.
Sure, there
was three issues a year, so that was a considerable amount of time that I did totally unpaid.
Right. So what tips or advice would you offer for aspiring writers, given your experience thus far?
I'd say read thousands of books, and subsume good storytelling. And some bad storytelling, I would also say that people focus on action sometimes because they think that draws in the reader. My contention is a lot of what gets people to keep reading is is a feeling of security when they read the author, and that they know what they're doing, that they are a master at what they're doing. And a lot of that comes from tone and style. I can't tell you in workshops, I can tell you how many times I read like the first, someone says, always start with action. And someone writes this and it's like, Captain Sandra, whatever, races down the hall, like they start off immediately describing some action. And I think that's not probably the best advice. What I would say is write a perfect, you know, like consider your opening and try to get your theme involved in it and start with a great image and do that in a way that is totally unique to you, so that when the reader opens your, you know, story or book and they see that, they have a feeling that you are totally in control of this situation, of this bit of literature, and they feel comfortable to relax and confident that you will fulfill the expectation of that image or a phrase or paragraph. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's a trust issue with the reader, and they need to feel like you're in charge and a master of what you can do. And even though you might not be a master, but a lot of that comes from style and the way you put sentences together.
Right.
And then you have to have a good so many things. And then on a more sort of macro level, I would say if you're a writer starting out and you're trying to write to market, like you think, oh, okay, this is hot now, like, and you're not writing something that you enjoy and that interests you, you're making a huge mistake. Because first off, I would have a real tough time writing something that I did not enjoy, because it's you have a long relationship with a work of fiction that you're writing, and it should be something that really it excites you.
Right.
And the second thing is writing to market is, I can't think of anyone who does that well. I mean, some people write to market, but it's because they enjoy the exact same things that the market is buying. And so I think you should just follow the saying is follow your bliss, write what you feel like. And
sure.
That's.
So what books, fiction or nonfiction, have you read lately that made an impact on you and that you would recommend?
That made an impact,
or that you particularly enjoyed?
That I really enjoyed. Well, you know, I've actually had a real hard. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I've actually had a real hard time getting into books recently. Now that I've started. Now that I've become a writer, it's really hard because it makes me more mercenary when I'm reading something. Like, what can I take? Like, how are they doing this? And what can I take from it and subsume it in my own writing? And it's been a long time since I've read a book in pure enjoyment. However, I guess the most exciting reading experience I've had in the past year has been, let me just preface this. I read I tried reading a book by China Mieville called Perdido Station, and I got about halfway through it, and it just didn't work. The writing was clunky and pretentious and overly verbose, and I just kept putting it down and just like leaving it for a month and not really. But everyone was raving about how incredible it was. And I'd go back and I'd read a little bit more, and it just would immediately put me asleep. So I finally just threw it away. And then someone gave me a copy of The Scar. And I was like, well, I had a really terrible time with the first one. I mean, I rarely get a book where I can't read the whole thing if it's, you know, has something in it. But I opened The Scar, and it was just, it was everything Street Station was not. It was exciting. There had characters with believable motivations. It was just, while the first one, but while Street Station had incredible imagery and, you know, really interesting writing with lots of polysyllabic $64 words, this one had the same thing, but it worked for me. And I read it, and I was totally transported in the book, and I would consider it one of my favorite books, and that's probably the best reading I've been doing now. I'm sort of right now. I've been slowly working through Cormac McCarthy's Sutri, which is, I don't know, I have some problems with it, but you know, it's funny because he's like Pulitzer Prize winning novelist and everything, but it's very much emulative of William Faulkner, and I guess because I've tried to get out from underneath that shadow, I'm very sensitive to other people who are still who write in pure emulation of it, and it is. But you know, it much like the Perdido Street Station, it has brilliant imagery and brilliant turns of phrase, and so I keep trying to read it, but that's what I'm right now. And gotcha.
So what are you working on right now? What are you writing?
I'm writing the second book in the young adult trilogy called it is called Incarcerado, and it's been I've never written a sequel to a book, so I didn't really, you know, I didn't. Some of the problems I encountered were, one, this is number two, so I have the sort of Two Towers issue, which is how do you make the second book in a trilogy engaging on its own? I don't know if I've solved that. I think I might have. The second problem is, it's like, okay, in a series, I've written three individual books. I've actually written four individual books. My fourth one hasn't found a home yet, but we're looking. We're very hopeful about one place. And how do you make it interesting to me? How do I, you know, what am I going to get out of this relationship with this second book that I'm going to be with for months? You know, that's a very important question that every author needs to ask themselves. Is like, you have to live with these characters, and you have to live with this work, and dealing with it every day for months on end. You know, what is going to make it interesting for you? You know, as a mental exercise and an artistic pursuit. So that was another thing I had to really sort of sit down and think about. And those are the two big things I've had to the hurdles I had to jump over. I'm coming very close to the end. It is getting a little bit bigger than I thought it would be. So, and then I know I'm going to have a good amount of rewrites. But I'm almost done with that one, and then I'll be finishing the third one. I'll be writing the third one immediately after that.
Right.
So 12-Fingered Boy comes out next spring, 2013. And then they come out, the next book comes out 2014, and the next book comes out 2015. And so we're hoping my other series that is on the market right now is called The Incorruptibles, and it's sort of my baby. It's my favorite thing I've ever written. It's very strange, you know, sort of amalgam of things I love. It's a Western fantasy set in a world like our own, and except it's in a empire, like sort of based on the Roman Empire, as if it never fell. And so they're sort of at the point of the Industrial Revolution where they're pushing westward into, we call it the Imperial Protectorate, or I call it the Imperial Protectorate, or the Hardscrabble territories, Tories, which is pretty much a stand-in for early, you know, Western expansion into America. And sort of the thing about this book is, it is the world is powered by infernal combustion, so the big steamships and mechanized baggage trains that have great flaming demons bound in their bellies that push turbines. So there's sort of this magic element. And so the Western derives from this sort of equite class that have guns that, you know, each bullet, these guns are very expensive because each bullet has to have a summoner, or what I call an engineer, bind an imp inside the bullet, and the bullets are warded. And so when you pull, like you have your pistol, when you pull back the hammer on the pistol and you pull the trigger, the hammer falls forward, mars the warding, allowing the imp to sort of combust and run free, pushing the barrel, the bullet down the barrel. And so you have these, you know, so it works as a Western. So, and my agent gave it the title Demon Punk, which I'm okay with. You know, I've been called punk lots of times. So
that sounds fun. That sounds lots of fun. So good luck with that. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at John Horner, And my name is spelled H-O-R-N-O-R. It's exactly like horror, actually, except strike the second R and replace with an N. John Horner, all one word, all lowercase, or I guess it doesn't really matter on Twitter. And then on my website, which is johnhornerjacobs.com.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with John Horner Jacobs, author of the new horror novel, This Dark Earth. The book is available in bookstores now. John, thanks for doing the interview.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.